The views and opinions expressed on this show or any other show on Herncoe Radio Network are not necessarily those reflective of Herncoe Radio owners, affiliates, or local sponsors. Any hurt feelings or mixed emotions infringing upon the PC movement should be referred to Herncoe's Human Services Department, which can be reached at blah, 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 to which time you will be told to shut it. On behalf of Herncoe Radio Network,
I would like to take this time now to thank you from the bottom of our blinding souls. Thank you! Ha, 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 ha!
Ah, it is so good to see you again, sir. I see you have brought your friends with you this time. Very good, sir. Would you like your usual table? Right this way then, sir. Please follow me.
Ah, who are we kidding? We're not that stuffy.
I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I've heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories. Watch
them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Politics Cafe, where we sit down and discuss anything and everything. No holds barred. Bring any topic to the table. We don't care. We'll discuss it. Come on in. Sit down. Take a load off. Now, the host of the show, Mark.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe, www.herncoe.com, the best in internet talk radio. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway, where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. And folks, I hope you got some antacids ready for afterwards tonight. Sorry to have to put it this way, but there is craziness running rampant and afoot. I've often said here on this show, in the chat rooms and other places that people hear me convert, that Democrats are doing all they can to push this right to a head. They want reactions from people. They want to see people out there going nuts over what it is they're doing. This is watch the left hand. Don't pay any attention to the right hand. None of that's going on there. A lot of crap is coming down about the health care bill. We know I watched a little bit of it on C-SPAN today. And they basically rammed it through the budget committee, recommended it go right over to the House for a full up or down vote on it. Right now they do not have the votes to get it through the House. It's 212 to 219, 219 against it. But it is very, very close. Wait to see what kind of deals get wrangled, what happens here over the rest of the week. It looks like it's scheduled for a vote on Thursday or Friday at this point. But a lot of crazy things. Now this healthcare bill has got education things going with it. Must have some, from what I understand, there's some defense appropriations coming along with this healthcare bill. They're doing whatever they can to ram this thing through. You know, adding anything onto it that may seem necessary. At any rate, while this is going on, the rest of the news, and why it's coming out now, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, folks. This one here hit the waves today. And this is by Stephen Olemacher of the AP. Which, by the way, all articles read on this program are for informational, educational, and discussion purposes only. Out of Parkersburg, West Virginia, the retirement nest egg of an entire generation is stashed away in this small town along the Ohio River. $2.5 trillion in IOUs from the federal government, payable to the Social Security Administration. Now it's time to start cashing them in. For more than two decades, and I don't know how he gets that two decades figure, Social Security collected more money in payroll taxes than it paid out in benefits. Billions more each year. Not anymore. This year, for the first time since the 1980s, when Congress last overhauled Social Security, the retirement program is projected to pay out more in benefits than it collects in taxes, nearly $29 billion more. Now, sounds like a good time to start tapping the nest egg. Too bad the federal government already spent that money over the years on other programs, preferring to borrow from Social Security rather than foreign creditors. In return, the Treasury Department issued a stack of IOUs in the form of Treasury bonds, which are kept in a nondescript office building just down the street from Parkersburg Municipal Offices. Well, now the government will have to borrow even more money, much of it abroad, to start paying back the IOUs, and the timing couldn't be worse. The government is projected to post a record $1.5 trillion budget deficit this year, followed by $1 trillion deficits for years to come. Social Security shortfall will not affect current benefits. As long as the IOUs last, benefits will keep flowing. But experts say it is a warning sign that the program's finances are deteriorating. Social Security is projected to drain its trust funds by 2037 unless Congress acts, and there is concern that the looming crisis will lead to reduced benefits. This is not just a wake-up call. This is it. We're here, said Mary Johnson, a political analyst with the Senior Citizens League, an advocacy group. We are not going to be able to put it off anymore. For more than two decades, regardless of which political party was in power, Congress has been accused of raiding the Social Security trust funds to pay for other programs, masking the size of the budget deficit. Remember Al Gore's lockbox, the one he was going to use to protect Social Security? The former vice president talked about it so much during the 2000 presidential campaign that he was parodied on Saturday Night Live. Gore lost the election and never got his lockbox. But to illustrate the government's commitment to repaying Social Security, the Treasury Department has been issuing special bonds that earn interest for the retirement program. The bonds are unique because they are actually printed on paper, while other government bonds exist only in electronic form. They are stored in a three-ring binder, locked in the bottom drawer of a white metal filing cabinet in the Parkersburg office of the Bureau of Public Debt. The agency, which is part of the Treasury Department, opened offices in Parkersburg in the 1950s as part of a plan to locate important government functions away from the Washington, D.C. area in case of an attack during the Cold War. Now, one bond is worth a little more than $15.1 billion, and another is valued at just under $10.7 billion. In all, the agency has about $2.5 trillion in bonds, all backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. But don't bother trying to steal them. They're non-negotiable, which means they are worthless on the open market. More than 52 million people receive old age or disability benefits from Social Security. The average benefit for retirees is a little under $1,200 a month. Disabled workers get an average of $1,100 a month. Social Security is financed by payroll taxes. Employers and employees must each pay a 6.2% tax on workers' earnings up to $106,800. Retirees can start getting early, reduced benefits at age 62. They get full benefits if they wait until they turn 66. Those born after 1960 will have to wait until they turn 67. Now, Social Security's financial problems have been looming for years as the nation's 78 million baby boomers approach retirement age. The oldest are already there. As that huge group of people starts collecting benefits and stops paying payroll taxes, Social Security's trust funds will shrink, running out of money by 2037, according to the latest projection from the trustees who oversee the program. Yeah, I'm a baby boomer too there, Mr. Fluke. Hey, welcome to the room, by the way. Welcome there, Mr. Binderoo. The recession is making things worse, at least in the short term. Tax receipts are down from the loss of more than 8 million jobs, and applications for early retirement benefits have spiked for retire. Stephen C. Goss, chief actuary for the Social Security Administration, says the crisis has been years in the making. If this seriously at that in the nearer term, that's probably a good thing. But it's only really a punctuation mark on the fact that we have longer-term financial issues that need to be addressed. In the short term, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office projects that Social Security will continue to pay out more in benefits than it collects in taxes for the next 3 years. If it is projected to post small surpluses of $6 billion each in 2014 and 2015, before returning to indefinite deficits in 2000, year that ends in September, Social Security is projected to collect $677 billion in taxes and spend $706 billion on benefits and expenses. Social Security will also collect $120 billion in interest on trust funds, according to the CBO projections, meaning its overall balance sheet will continue to grow. The interest, however, is paid by the government, adding even more to the budget deficit. Exactly. While Congress must shore up the program, action is unlikely this year, says Representative Earl Pomeroy, Democrat from North Dakota, who just took over last week as chairman of the House subcommittee that oversees Social Security. The issues required to address the long-term solvency needs of Social Security can be done in a careful, thoughtful, and orderly way, and they don't need to be done in the next few months. You know, we'll tell that to the people that are doing health care. The national debt, the amount of money the government owes its creditors, is about $12.5 trillion, or nearly $42,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. About $8 trillion has been borrowed in public debt markets, much of it from foreign creditors. The rest comes from various government trust funds, including retirement funds for civil servants and the military. About $2.5 trillion is owed to Social Security. Good luck to the politician who reneges on that debt, said Barbara Kennelly, former Democratic congresswoman from Connecticut, who is now president of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Probably just her and her friends. Those bonds are protected by the full faith and credit of the United States of America, Kennelly said. They're as solid as what we owe Japan and China. Well, you tell the Chinese exactly how solid this is. And, you know, solid is something that you could say you have when you got a strong economy. When you got new businesses opening up, when you have jobs being created on a daily basis, when you have production, when you have a trade surplus that runs away from you instead of a trade deficit. When you're exporting more than you're importing, you know, when unemployment gets down around 4% or so, where you can basically say you got full employment in the country, you know, when worker productivity keeps on a steady increasing rise, you know, when inflation is kept in check. And of course, none of these are going on right now. None of this whatsoever. We have a very poor economy. 8 million jobs lost over the last couple of years. But I'm here to tell you folks, you know, look, there's nothing new in this. This is the part that's killing me right here. There's nothing new. All of a sudden, out of the blue, they're coming out and they're starting to hit us with this stuff. And I'm here to tell you folks, this is just one more thing to do their damnedest to get the right side of the aisle riled up so that somebody out there does something stupid. And that is something we got to avoid under all circumstances. We are at a point in time where it is well worth our while to talk about every single one of these issues out here. But what to do about it? Well, I tell you what, other than calling your congressmen and senators, there's only one other thing you can do. Make sure that the bums are thrown out in November. It's that simple. This is the year that it's going to have to happen. We have had Congress after Congress and administration after administration spending us down the river. Now, guess what? The river has now backed up. It is time to pay the piper. This is what's coming down here. These people are going to start demanding this from the federal government. They want to cash in their IOUs. Well, how's the IOUs going to happen? Well, they're going to tell you that they're going to try to sell bonds, maybe get some foreign creditors to buy those bonds. But what are we doing here? You know, once again, elevating the Ponzi scheme. Got an upside-down triangle working here, folks. And it's getting heavier and heavier, and it's going to tilt one way or another at some point. And when it does, it's all going to come crashing down. You know, this is not funny. And these people are doing their damnedest to make sure that it comes to a head as fast as it possibly can. Well, point in fact here is we got to just forget that. Now, on top of this, you know, well, I'm not saying to forget about the Social Security thing, but let's not get ourselves all excited about it. Let's do the right thing. Let's throw the bums out in November. Let's get a new crowd in there that's going to start looking at everything. Thanks. A lot of talk about Governor Chris Christie today shutting down some of the offices of the New Jersey government. Of course, the unions are going to go nuts down there once he does this. I couldn't really find too much in the news, but the rumors that are circulating out there are very, very hard. Must be something that was coming out on local AM radio down in Jersey. But the fact of the matter is, Chris Christie may be showing this nation the rest of the way to go here. And should he pull it off, boy, he could be a good shot for making a president in the next couple of years. Because what needs to be done is exactly that. It's the spending that has to come to a complete and screeching halt. You know, there are a few things that this government was intended to do when we formed this government. And those are outlined in the Constitution. Section 8. Thank you very much. Just go take a peek. There's only a few things in there. After that, we got the 9th and the 10th Amendments. All other functions to be performed by the people themselves or the states. It's the way it works. It's the way it's always meant to work. Now, I'll tell you what. It's coming, and it's going to come hard. Now, on top of this, more of an alarming kind of thing coming out here. Now, this one here, I guarantee you, when this hits the news tomorrow, which I expect, it didn't make it any of the news articles today. Of course, you know, yours truly always tries to get everything up to the minute, and this was only came down about 45 minutes ago off the wire. This is by Jim Cunyan, another AP writer. A new Democratic Senate bill to tame the financial markets would give the government new powers to break up firms that threaten the economy, force the industry to pay for its failures, and create an independent consumer watchdog within the Federal Reserve. Now, legislation unveiled today by Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd falls shy of the ambitious restructuring of federal financial regulations envisioned by President Barack Obama, or contained in legislation already passed in the House. However, the 1,336-page bill, which includes provisions negotiated with the Republicans, would still be the biggest overhaul of regulation since the New Deal. It comes 18 months after Wall Street failures helped plunge the nation into a deep recession. In its sweep, the bill would touch all corners of the financial sector, from small-town mortgage brokers to the highest penthouse office suites on Wall Street. Lobbyists were already mobilizing to change several of its features. Americans are frustrated and angry, as we all know, Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, said. They've lost faith in our markets, and they wonder if anyone is looking out for them. In announcing his bill in a news conference, Dodd stood alone, a sign of the difficult task ahead of him in forging a bill that can pass the Senate. None of the 10 Republicans on his committee endorsed his plan. Now, see, this is the kind of stuff you gotta love here, all right? What did it tell you up here? That this included some... And I saw it on here. Where do we get it? Paragraph 3 includes provisions negotiated with Republicans. And, of course, now you get out here a little further, and none of them want this. All right? You just got to love this. Several Democrats have voiced dismay at Dodd's decision to reject the plan for a free... standing consumer agency, an Obama regulatory centerpiece. The bill would create a powerful nine-member Financial Stability Oversight Council, FSOC. Yeah, it kind of almost sounds like SS, doesn't it? Yeah, chaired by the Treasury Secretary to look out for the system-wide health of the financial sector and to stop financial firms from becoming too big to fail. The council could place large interconnected financial institutions under the supervision of the Federal Reserve, like they're not already. And it would have the authority to approve the breakup of a large complex companies if they pose a threat to the nation's financial system. Now, Dodd partially embraced Obama's call for a so-called Volcker Rule. Named after former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, the proposal would limit the size of some of the largest financial institutions and ban commercial banks from conducting certain trades on their own accounts. Now, Dodd's bill sets a goal for ending risky trading in hedge fund investments by depository banks, but calls for a study before any regulations are written and enforced. Like the House bill, Dodd's proposal would create a mechanism to shut down large failing firms with shareholders and unsecured creditors bearing the losses. Management also would be removed. The costs of such a shutdown would be covered by a $50 billion federal fund financed by the largest financial firms. That's a key paragraph right there, folks, and we're going to get back to that. The Federal Reserve, under Dodd's plan, emerges as a leaner institution with new powers to regulate the size and the activities of the nation's largest financial firms. The Fed, once threatened with the loss of all its regulatory powers, will now oversee all bank holding companies with assets of $50 billion or more, but would also be given power to regulate and even break up large interconnected companies such as the insurance conglomerate American International Group, whose failure could pose a risk to the economy. The bill creates restrictions for previously unregulated exotic products and financial instruments. It regulates hedge funds that manage more than $100 million to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And it gives shareholders the right to cast a non-binding vote on executive compensation packages. What good is a non-binding vote? Now, Dodd's consumer proposal is perhaps the most contentious piece of his package. The financial industry is fiercely opposed because it separates consumer regulations from the functions of other financial regulators. But Dodd would give the Oversight Council the power to veto regulations written by the Consumer Bureau. Consumer advocates objected to that provision, but their criticism was tempered because they had expected worse. Unlike current law, states would have the power to write and enforce regulations that are tougher than those passed by the Federal Consumer Bureau, a priority of consumer groups. State attorneys general would also have the power to file lawsuits to enforce rules passed by the Consumer Bureau. Obama, eager to make Wall Street regulations and a political and legislative cause, said Dodd's bill a strong foundation, but he signaled he wanted to make it tougher. I will take every opportunity to work with Chairman Dodd and his colleagues to strengthen the bill and will fight against efforts to weaken it, he said. Dodd wants his committee to begin debating the bill next Monday and intends to complete the committee's work within the week. Republicans object, saying the complex registration takes more time. Yeah, 1,336 pages, right? Forcing the banking committee to vote on this proposal in a single week is unrealistic and undercuts the potential for bipartisan agreement, said Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, the top Republican on the committee. You just gotta love it. Now, it's the paragraph that I was talking about here. Like the House bill, Dodd's proposal would create a mechanism to shut down large failing firms with shareholders and unsecured creditors bearing the losses. Management also would be removed. The costs of such a shutdown would be covered by a $50 billion fund financed by the largest financial firms. Now, that, folks, if there was ever a loaded statement in the world of politics, you just heard it. All right. The costs of such a shutdown would be covered by a $50 billion fund financed by the largest financial firms. Now, you tell me whether or not the largest financial firms are going to have a stake in shutting down other firms. Well, duh. And make sure that the losses go right to management's blame. Shareholders and unsecured creditors bearing the losses. Well, don't they do that now? Doesn't a shareholder in a company, bear the losses when the shares of his stock go down to zip? And he's basically looking at stock sheets as being toilet paper. All right, that's already there. Unsecured creditors? Unsecured says it all, doesn't it? If it is unsecured, it is unsecured. No one is going to bear the loss. All right, more crap coming on here. But the costs of the shutdown will be covered by a $50 billion fund financed by the largest financial firms. Come on, folks. Can you say government-endorsed monopoly? Say that along with me. Government-endorsed monopoly. Don't you just love the way it is unbelievable? Yes, yes, Mr. Boot. You're talking here now. Mr. Flute has just led into the room here very, very, very eye-opening statement. Specifically, $2 in capital was required for every $100 in mortgage-backed bonds, compared to $5 for the same amount in mortgage loans and $10 for the same amount in commercial loans. Well, I'll tell you what, this is basically what happens. I mean, let's face it, the money that has been generated out there in the markets over the last 10 years has come from the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These people have been printing money against the mortgages that they've been securing for years. It's where all the money came to fund the economy here. And of course, those mortgages were all bundled into prize packages, some good, some bad, and sold along with their swaps and other derivatives off to the big houses on Wall Street. And after Katrina, and after a few other nasty items going on in this country, those mortgages started to go bad, everything started to teeter. And what was the bad part about all that? Well, the income from those mortgages actually went down. When those income from those mortgages go down, the big houses on Wall Street couldn't pay their debts. That was why there was a cause for a financial meltdown. That's why the whole world was going to go to hell. Well, fact of the matter is here, what they're promising you, I don't believe it for a heartbeat. Not even for a single wink of an eye do I believe anything that's going on in this bill here. Talking about we're going to oversee the Federal Reserve. Dude, the Federal Reserve has been overseeing us for way, way, way too long. Way too long. The Federal Reserve has been doing nothing but printing money against securities that it is selling. And in the process, devaluing our dollar over the course of the years and years and years and years. You know, it's a funny thing. It all looks good on paper. It really does. You know, you sit down and you say, look, we just borrowed $10,000 from Mr. Chinaman here, and we lent that $10,000 out to Mr. American, and Mr. American is going to pay us back that $10,000 with interest. Really? Where did he get the money to pay you back in interest? Well, he went out and did business in the world. Well, wait a minute. He's not doing business around the world. This is a domestic company. Where did he get the money in interest? Well, he's earning money on what he's done. Okay, but you're the one that made that $10,000. You took $10,000 in foreign money, changed it into American money, and then put the American money in the market. Now, how's he going to do this? Well, I'm sure he's doing business with lots of good people out there who are paying him for it. Okay, well, where are they getting the money? Well, the same way he got it. Okay, and folks, part of it about it is that escapes everyone. problems. In fact, in the end, they're all notes of debt that are being written here. The paper money itself is nothing but a note of debt. And when you are paying off notes of debt with more notes of debt, what you have is a compounding of the amount of notes of debt that are in circulation. You know, and the thing about it is, at some point in time, you're going to have winners and you're going to have losers. Now, if you don't have enough people out there that are actually losing to, in order to have some of them pay, some of them are going to have to lose. You know, but if you don't have enough of them losing, you don't get to balance your books. Because if they're all winning, you got to keep more money in the system. Kind of tough to explain, but the bottom end of the line here is that the only way you're going to pay off your older notes of debt with more notes of debt when you're collecting interest on them is to create even more notes of debt. And what you end up with is like I said before, it's an upside-down pyramid. It's a Ponzi scheme. And even if none of these businesses go bad, even if none of the loans out there went bad, they still had to collect more money back in interest than they paid out when they loaned the money to start with. And who ends up losing in the end? We all do, because the amount of money that ends up flooding the market out there gets devalued on a daily basis. You know, that's the hard part. You can take a look and say, yes, we have a thriving economy. We are down to 4% unemployment. We've got inflation down under 3%, which is actually very high. You know, if you can keep inflation under 1%, you're doing pretty good. Good. Don't forget the Europeans a few years back. Europeans refused to tolerate more than 2% inflation. Now, they weren't going to do that. We were screaming at the time for the Europeans to start printing more money, doing basically the same thing we were doing, quantitative easing. They had to do this. You know, they were being told to please. Now, they weren't being told to print more money. They were being told to expand their economies, you know, or being screened at. It's basically the same thing saying, look, hey, print more money, lend more money out, get everything moving. Because we were really worried at the time about the dollar's drop against the euro. Now, of course, a lot of businessmen out there were looking at that dollar drop and saying, this is a good thing to feed, especially if you're in the export business. You know, a smart move on your part would be to keep buying those euros and shipping them up. Because what happens, not shipping them, but, you know, driving up the price of the euros while you're going out there. Because what happens is your American products in the marketplace all of a sudden become cheaper for everybody else to buy, become more attractive. You export more. That's fine as long as you get rid of the euros before they start to drop again. A very, very tricky situation. But for quite a while there, it actually worked out. We had one quarter there where we had 37% increase in exports. And it was a good thing, looking really good for everybody all the way around. We might have made a dent in the trade deficit. At any rate, right now we're at the bottom of the hour here. And before I go any further, I've got to make a dent in the trade deficit with HernCo.com. Folks, take a look over at his website. We're going to take a fast break. Go over there. Gifts to buy. Get some of the fish prints. It's at HernCo.com. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Politics Cafe at www.HernCo.com, the best in Internet talk radio. We'll be right back.
Do you know what that is? That's the sound of your classmate forwarding a picture from your profile to everyone he knows. A college student downloading all your pictures to his hard drive. A teacher wondering what you were thinking. Some guys posting graphic comments about your body and what they do with it. Your neighbor printing out your latest pictures for his collection. A man spending some alone time with your picture while no one else is around. And worst of all, your dad seeing a photo of you topless. All because of the time you posted those pictures on your profile. Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends, and even not-so-friendly people. So think before you post. For more information, visit www.cybertipline.com.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in internet talk radio. All right, folks, more and more to come on out here. It's just to cap off everything I said in the last hour here, the more I started, there's a lot of big pushes going on out there. There's no doubt about it, and a lot of big pushes in a lot of different directions here. Now, you can look at this and say, you can see a government that is scrambling to get a grip on things that it is quickly losing control over. One way to look at it, there's no doubt about it. And that would not be an invalid point to say so. The fact of the matter is, the big one right here, right now, is healthcare. You know, you think AIG is going to worry about getting broken up by this here later on down the road? Not a chance. Going to reform under some other name or some other method, or actually come in underneath the whole insurance thing with the healthcare. Don't forget what's going on here with healthcare. This is a huge takeover by insurance companies. You know, just a quick recap on that. What you have out there are the qualified health benefit providers. You know, and I was listening to a talk show host yesterday down in New York City telling me, well, if your company wants to go along with all the rules, they can apply and they'll become a qualified health benefit provider. You know, I want to wait and see. I want to wait and see who it is that's going to write those rules to do this, how big they've got to be. How big? Because I'll tell you, you know what the first thing that's going to happen, don't you, is they're going to have a huge reserve fund coming into the game. All right, let's see who it is that's able to put together such a big, huge reserve fund. If it's a great big guy out there who will have the money and be able to do this, he will be cajoled and coerced. Or not coerced, but he will be cajoled into the form. No doubt about it. They're going to want him in there, and he's going to want a piece of the action. There's no doubt. They're going to be able to keep him out. But the smaller guys, the guys who might be able to do a better job, well, forget them, baby. They're going to get cast by the wayside, whether you like it or not. You will be dealing with one of the big four or five companies that exist out there. Now, I'm going to tell you something else that's going to come down the road beyond this. And this is something that I've been talking about for 15 or 20 years, if not longer. Insurance companies have been invading their way into our privacy, into our culture, into every other goddamn part of our American lives here for a long, long time. Remember all the places you used to go and see fireworks when you were a kid? I mean, you can't do that anymore because of insurance regulations. Riding your skateboard around. Yeah, that's insurance regulations don't allow you to do that. There's so much out there that has been changed, modified, the way we live our lives because of insurance regulations, because of the risks involved in human behavior. Let's face it, those risks are never going to go away as long as we're going to be humans. But let's minimize those risks by making activities that might be dangerous or hazardous or cost insurance company to have to make a payout, let's make them illegal. Let's make such actions you know, let's frown on these actions. Let's make sure that these actions don't happen. We'll never have to make these payments, and life will be better for everyone. Well, folks, let's face it. If the insurance companies had their way, you would get up in the morning, you would eat a breakfast that was prepared by them, you know, to not have anything in it that was bad for you, and only the things that they determined to be good for you. At which point in time, you would walk in a sheltered walkway out your front door and drop on public transportation, where you would be guarded and held in by safety belts, seats, and all sorts of things designed to make sure that you didn't get hurt on your way to work. You would show up at work doing whatever it was that you were prescribed to do, and then at the end of the day, you would return home to eat your meals that were guided, of course, by the insurance companies, you know, guided, of course, by the health insurance companies, and then be told to sit and watch the television. No, you may not go down to the local bar anymore. Drinking has become too big of an anathema, too much people drinking, sorry, costs too much to the healthcare system. You know, we're going to have to limit people's consumption of alcohol. You can go into the bar and you can have one drink, but that's it. You got to turn around and go home. As far as buying a bottle somewhere, well, no, we had to close the state stores. People's drinking was getting out of hand. We had to close the package stores. People's drinking's just getting out of hand. Too many accidents, too many people hurting themselves, too many liver operations needed. Too many illnesses out there that the rest of us have to pay for. And this is the way it's coming, folks. Make no doubt about it. You know, your life would be one of the worker bee who got all of his entertainment coming from the glowing tube in the center of your living room. And after that, don't ask for any more, because any other activity that you might decide to engage in is just going to be too damn dangerous for you. It's that simple. And right, exactly. Too many lawsuits there, Mr. Pox. You hit the nail right on the head. You know, so worker bees, get ready, folks. You know, your lives are about to be controlled from soup to nuts. Nah, forget about that snowmobile. Forget about that Harley Davidson. You can't ride around in them damn things. They're too dangerous. What, are you crazy? You know how much it could cost everybody if you fall off of that? Well, we're going to keep you from falling off of that by not even letting you get on that. This is the way they would head, folks, if they could have their way. Make no doubt about it. They wouldn't want you to do anything. But, of course, show up and be a productive member of society at your job every day. And not to worry, the time will come here that they will find exactly which job you will be the best suited for. And yes, you will be working it. You gotta love it. All right, a couple crazy things here. We do gotta get over to C's here. The U.S. is renewing its Israel and backing in a rift. At least that's how the headline reads here. This is by Christoph Schmidt down at the AFP, the Agence France-Presse, where I go to get reliable news from overseas. The Obama administration pledged today that Israel remained a U.S. ally as congressional rivals rallied behind Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a feud over the construction of settlements. Irate U.S. officials last week demanded a halt to construction for Jewish settlers in East Jerusalem after Israel gave the green light for 1,600 homes just as Vice President Joe Biden was visiting to promote peace talks, with the Israeli ambassador to Washington reportedly calling the spat the worst between the two nations in 35 years. The U.S. State Department said that the specific area of concern did not affect the broader relationship. Israel is a strategic ally of the U.S. and will continue to be so, State Department spokesman Philip Crowley told reporters. Our commitment to Israel's security remains unshakable. He also declined to comment on Netanyahu's remarks to his Likud party that construction would go ahead, saying that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was waiting a formal reply to a tense telephone call on Friday. She thought appropriate actions would be to the Prime Minister. She asked for a response by the Israeli government. We wait for the response, Crowley said. Without prompting from reporters, Crowley criticized unnamed Palestinians for building of a landmark synagogue in Jerusalem's walled old city that had been destroyed in fighting 62 years ago. While Crowley denied that the United States was trying to balance its criticism, his remarks came as the Obama administration faced intense attacks from Republicans on Capitol Hill. To say that I am deeply concerned with the irresponsible comments that the White House Vice President and the Secretary of State have made against Israel, it is an understatement, said Representative Eric Cantor, the number two Republican in the House. In an effort to ingratiate our country with the Arab world, the administration has shown a troubling eagerness to undercut our allies and friends, said Cantor, the only Jewish Republican in the House. Republican Senator Sam Brownback said it was hard to see how spending a weekend condemning Israel for a zoning decision in its capital city amounts to a positive step toward peace. Israel considers Jerusalem its capital, although the Palestinians also see the holy city as the seat of their future state. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, a major pro-Israel lobby, voiced serious concern about the administration's approach and urged President Barack Obama to take immediate steps to defuse tension. But J Street, a more liberal pro-Israeli group, said that the administration's reaction to both the timing and substance of Israel's housing announcement was both understandable and appropriate. Aaron David Miller, who served as a Middle East advisor to six U.S. Secretaries of State, said that both sides have created a situation in which climbing down is going to be very difficult. But Miller, now at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, questioned the focus on halting settlements, while the Obama administration has sought unsuccessfully since taking office in January 2009. Settlement activity, as bad as it is, makes a much more fundamental problem, Miller said. He said the fundamental issues divided the Israelis and Palestinians, including the status of Jerusalem and Palestinian refugees. Unless our government's objective to unseat the prime minister and to create a new political reality, which would be naive, there's no alternative to finding a deal, he said. Now, this is all on heel of remarks. Benjamin Netanyahu basically told him all to piss off last week. This is what's going on here. They're going to build the 1,600 apartments or 1,600 homes over on that side, and that's all there is to it. They own the land. It's been theirs. They've taken it. They're going to build it. And the other thing that went on here, just one little notice here, well, they're trying to ingratiate themselves with the Arab world. Now, I'm here to tell you, you knew this was going to come. You knew we were going to try to seek some appeasement with the Arab world. You know, we knew this. Well, here it is, folks. Here it is in a nutshell. Instead of going out there, condemning your actions around the world, condemning the actions of the Taliban, of Al-Qaeda, of the Hamas, of Hezbollah, of the Arab Brotherhood, and a host of other little terrorist societies out there. What are we trying to do? Make nice nice. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Make nice nice to people who have vowed to try to kill you. Well, you know, now this is unbelievable. It's insane, it's nuts, but it's exactly what we are expecting from them, isn't it? You know, this is where it comes down to why you can't have Democrats running a whole nation. Because they just don't see things for what they are. You know, because they know damn well if they see things for what they really are, that would mean that appropriate steps of action would have to be taken. And the appropriate steps of action so horrify them that they are going to have to look at it in another direction. Well, this is just simply, these are police matters. These are matters of people who are breaking the law. This is a law enforcement matter. This isn't a matter of war. This isn't a matter of a whole group of people out there who are destined to bring us all down. It's a few nut jobs out there, the need to have corrections. It's just insane. Just insane any way you look at it. It's a, well, Mr. Flute, look, you got a question here as far as how many of them have been killed by Palestinians. You know, the fact of the matter is, I don't know. I really don't. But you're going to tell me that none of these people have anything to do with the Yemenis? None of them have anything to do with the Saudi Arabians who are foaming all this intolerance going on up there? You know, let's face it. You know, what's going on in Israel should be nothing more than a problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians. But the fact of the matter is, the Israeli and Palestinians are being used by the Saudis, by the Iranians, you know, by former Iraqis, by Arabs all over the world as an excuse to go after whoever. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It's, I'll have to take a look at that article you got there in a minute. I'm having a problem opening up links. But point of the matter is here, this little bullshit that's going on over here is nothing more than a move of appeasement, by this administration with the Arab world. Thinking that somehow or another, you know, if it manages to get the Arab world to think that we're friendly with them, that, you know, they will stop the attacks on us. Well, nothing to be further from the truth. What they don't seem to understand is that the broader Arab world out there, okay, or the broader Muslim world has been rendered insignificant by the terrorists in this world. Look, I'm not here trying to tell anybody that it is that all of Islam is out to destroy the rest of the world. Because nothing could be further from the truth. Now, most of your experts out there put it somewhere between 15 and 30% of the Islamic world wants to rule the rest of the world. out how they're working in 60 different countries around the world. Make no mistake about it. And it's death by the sword as far as they're concerned, you know, by the sword or by the AK-47, Chinese made. But the fact of the matter is, you know, even if you go down as low as 10%, which is where I put it personally, we're still looking at 150 million people who are trying to wreak havoc around the world. And that 150 million people who are trying to wreak havoc, okay, that, you know, 10% who look at the other 1.5 billion Muslims out there as being nothing more than apostate Muslims. They don't count. None of the rest of the Muslims in the world, the ones that we are trying to make nice with and make friends with, mean a goddamn thing to the terrorists. And that is the big point right here. The terrorists in this world do not care. They will just as quickly sacrifice any of what they consider to be infidel Muslims or apostate Muslims or any of them that are not Wahhabists and are not towing the line, you know, as just somebody to be trampled. It doesn't matter. They can shout at them. They can talk to them. But unless that other 1.5 billion Muslims decides to rise up on its own and wipe out the 150 million that are causing all this mess, it's going to be left to us, because that 150 million are causing this mess around the world. And, you know, to say that they don't have their sights set on us, don't be ridiculous. Let them go in and take over Israel. Let them see Israel wiped out. And you will give them. And if we back down from this point in time, once again, you will see more declarations of war against us, just like you saw from Osama bin Laden. Don't forget what happened after the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia, you know, which was, you know, not such a little time in history. And that was not just a one little bad point, because immediately on the heels of Black Hawk Down came a letter, a declaration of war against the United States and the rest of the world from Osama bin Laden himself, who had called us a paper tiger and who had looked at what had happened there at Black Hawk Down as being the reason to call us a paper tiger. And these people understand strength, okay, and they also understand weakness. And if they see weakness, they believe that they are stronger, they will move on it. They will move on it quicker than you can blink an eye. This is one thing we must never do, is never look weak. If we decide to abandon Israel to the rest of the world, it will be nothing more than a sign of weakness on our part. And if they go down, it will definitely be a sign of weakness, and it will mean that we are vulnerable and that we are ready to be attacked. So this is a very, very, very touchy situation that's going on over here, more than what they're letting on to be. Make no mistake about it. And these people are aggravating the Israelis at this point in time in their efforts to try to make nice to the Palestinians. Ain't going to work. And I'm damn sure hoping that it doesn't backfire, much to the detriment of the rest of us. All right. It's, well, no kidding there, Floop. All right. North Korea giving access to a detained American. North Korea has allowed a Swedish diplomat to see an American detained in a communist state. The first time it has granted consular access, the State Department said today. The Swedish embassy, which represents U.S. interests in Pyongyang and the absence of diplomatic relations, was given access to the American on Sunday, State Department spokesman Philip Crowley told reporters. We are not at liberty to disclose his identity, Crowley said. North Korea said it had detained an American crossing the border with China on January 25th, but little information has been revealed about the case since. The case is separate from the U.S. missionary Robert Park, who walked into North Korea on Christmas Day carrying a letter calling on leader Kim Jong-il to free political prisoners, shut down prison camps, and improve human rights, and step down. North Korea freed Park, with its official news agency quoting the missionary as saying that the atheist state ensured religious freedom. Park has said little since the return to the United States on February 6th. His associates have twice scheduled and then canceled press conferences. Of course not. They're going to wait for the book to come out. Yeah, you got to love it. But just something to let you know here, that there are things moving. North Korea is trying to enter into the stage again. You know, once more, one of these little things that are going on around the world to let you know that, hey, maybe they are in control. Not at all. Well, okay, we got one more here before the top of the hour here. Now, this is a little crazy. I believe this one is coming down here unauthored. Yes, this is down off the AFP. After I read it to you, you'll understand why there's no author to it. The Pentagon may review allegations today that a Defense Department official set up a network of private contractors in Afghanistan and Pakistan to track and kill suspected militants. The New York Times reported today that the official, named as Michael Furlong, had set up the network under the guise of an information gathering program. Citing unnamed officials and businessmen in Afghanistan and the United States, the Times said Furlong hired contractors from private security companies employing ex-CIA and Special Forces agents. These contractors were then supposed to gather intelligence on suspected militants in their hideouts, which was fed to military units and intelligence officers in Afghanistan and Pakistan for use in possible strikes. Some U.S. officials told the Times they were concerned Furlong could be running an unofficial spy operation, adding they were not sure who condoned and supervised it. Work. That story makes some serious allegations and Rittman told reporters, but he refused to confirm the Times report that the Pentagon had already launched an investigation into the matter. The New York Times said it was seen as illegal for the military to hire contractors to be covert spies. Furlong may have improperly diverted funds from a regional information gathering to his network, the Times added. Now, folks, this might just seem like a little blurb on the side here, but this is something that is going to bear watching for a couple of different reasons. Now, you think there might be somebody out there doing something like this? Well, maybe, maybe not. You think they're going to be checking into something like this? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But do you think that there's going to be something being told about here coming down the line that this guy is going to take the blame on? Yeah, you betcha. You betcha. So something happened. Something is in the works here, folks. This one here just stinks to high heaven. It's that simple. Look, it's not as if there were things that had already happened here. It's not as if Pakistan is jumping up and down about someone over there being killed by this operation. It's not as if our generals in Afghanistan are talking about bad information coming from this guy or anything of the other. Anything that you would expect, you know. If this was so covert and nothing much of other than killing off a few terrorists came out of this, why did it hit the news? Why is it out there? This is the kind of things you got to ask yourself. There's something going on, and I ain't sure what it is yet. I did do rather good search looking around it just to try to see. But there's a reason that this came out here. There ain't no doubt about it. And it's I think we're going to see really soon what's happening. Yeah, yeah, well, the thing about it is here, Mr. Flute, you know, yes, there's been a few stories coming out of Pakistan, but it's still, there's something funny in the works here. And I ain't quite sure what it is, but I think that Mr. Furlong here is being set up for a fall guy. I just can see it coming. Yeah, he's the nominated patsy. That's exactly what it is. All right. So with that, I could open it up here if anybody would like to add anything to the rest of the situation tonight. Any questions, any comments on anything you heard out there from the fine gathering we have in the room? My buddy, Mr. Flute from Down Under. Hey, I hope you guys are done with summer. We're taking it back next week, you know.
It looks like summer here. It's all fine and clear. We need a little bit more rain before we send the sun back your way. Mark, just on that article, apparently it first appeared in the New York Times. It's been picked up in The Guardian and other credible sources. But here, I'll speculate as to what happened. This sounds like the sort of thing that Rumsfeld would set up. Now, he set it up, but now he's not in office. And you've got a new administration. And Obama's got some good cooperation out of the Pakistanis. They've whinged to him or whined to him about these super sleuths or assassins or whatever you want to call them running around Pakistan. And so the message has come down to the Pentagon, tidy your act up, and along comes poor Mr. Furlong. You know, this shrieks of what nearly always happens, you know, that somebody up top orders it and then has plausible deniability, and you often get like a sergeant or a corporal or a bureaucrat with the rank of sergeant or lieutenant is the person that cops the blame. But you're right, I think this story will be around for a while. The Pentagon are pretty good at denying things and dishing out a dribble of information. So, the newspapers will love this sort of thing. I don't mind reading about it, certainly. Back to you, host.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. You can see right where they're going with all this. We've seen too much before. Now, I think you're being too brave here, giving Rumsfeld credit to pull off something like this. I really don't. I don't think he was smart enough. I really don't. Democrats? Yes. Behind the scenes? Absolutely. You know, you got to understand that this is, you know, working dirty under the covers behind the scenes is the Democrats' M.O. I mean, let's face it. What did John Curry, Democratic candidate for president, run on in 2004? Well, his whole idea was to take clandestine operations and run them anywhere in the world that he felt terrorists were operating. That was his whole MO. He didn't think we had to take any entire countries to war. He thought that we could go in and do surgical strikes wherever they were necessary in any corner of the world for whatever reason we deemed possible. You know, as long as there were terrorists at the other end of it, we could just go and do it. Now, you know damn well that this never would have worked out on such a thing, you know, because where would they go? They would go to places that either A, are friendly with, or B, know damn well that we ain't going to cross their borders to come in and get. You know, it's that simple. That's why they were in Afghanistan to start with, you know, because we had promised them that we're going to leave them alone. Here's guns, here's all the weapons you need. Look, we fought the Soviets, we beat the Soviets back, you guys are all done with them. Now, just to prove that we are honorable people, we're going to leave, and we're going to leave you alone. Well, what happened when we left them? We left them alone. The Taliban rose to power, started going crazy, dressed up all the women in their burqas, started shooting women down in the ball fields, and basically raising hell everywhere with their iron-fisted governmental policies. Thuggery, you know, it's no different than what Saddam Hussein was doing, just that there was no Saddam Hussein on top of it. You know, none of them have been smart enough to get rich off of any of it yet and go and build palaces. Point in fact, the matter is here, Democrats have no problem going into countries around the world and doing this. You know, they never did. You know, like I say, John Curry came right out and said it. So, you know, I didn't put this past a guy like Gates, you know, or at least getting Gates is okay. And even seeing somebody like a Chris Dodd or a Joe Biden or even Barack Obama himself coming up with the ideas to do it. You know, yeah, I don't see any problem with this whatsoever. And of course, it's going to be that plausible deniability that's going to, you know, make it all work down the line. Well, we didn't know anything about that. Geez, do you have a copy of the memo? You know, do you have a copy of the email on that? Of course not. There won't be any. You know, it'll all be word of mouth. So, I don't know. Like I said, we're going to keep my eye on this, just like everything. This is, you know, I promised everybody here that I was keeping my eye on everything that came out of North Korea. And this is the first thing that came up in months. Or, of course, out of Pakistan there, too. But, you know, hey, like I say, one of those kind of things, just got to keep our eye on. At any rate, folks, we're at the top of the hour here, and it's time to close up shop. But as always, hey, the bar will be open. I'm going to close the cafe down, because once again, the chairs are getting all piled up on the tables and pushed over against the wall. Cleaning people are hard at work. Waitresses have headed home for the evening, but the maitre d' is still finishing up. This guy's a pretty good guy. Despite the fact that the restaurant has slowed down here a little bit, not getting quite as many customers as we used to, and I know this is because of the economy. People are tightening their belts up, same as we are here, but still, nonetheless, we will function. And it will go on. They will be back. Ain't no doubt about it. You're right on there, Bob. All right, so folks, thanks once again for listening. You have listened to the Politics Cafe at www.herncoat.com. Well, best in internet talk radio. Don't forget Hernco Saturday mornings and the rest of the week. Some of the best music, news, stories, and other talk shows to find on the internet. All right, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you.